Okay, it's good to have all of you here in person and those online. And we'll prepare ourselves in our usual fashion, having a few moments of silent prayer, the opportunity to name privately to God the Father any unconfessed sins. And by the way, today is February the 17th, 2022. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to be here to feed upon your word. We're so thankful that we can depend upon you and you are in control of all things, and that you can keep us calm in the middle of a storm. You can help us to become overcomers so that we can demonstrate the Holy Spirit's power and be good ambassadors in a world that has gone mad. We thank you for all of these things. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to get into Romans again in a moment. And from time to time, I think, well, maybe we could use a little levity. So I have a few slides that hopefully will come across as put a smile on your face, maybe a little chuckle or something. Let's see if this is going to work here. First Assembly of God, the sign says, I want to be like Saul. I want to be on the road to Damascus. Ships don't sink because the water around them. Ships sink because of the water that gets inside them. Moral of the story, don't let what is happening around you get inside of you and weigh you down. Can you identify with this guy? This is the I don't know if you can see it. All the kids are saying, have studying with Plato, and he's up there with Plato. I could identify with him, especially in algebra. Plato's the Republic of the worst things I've ever had to read. Oh, I don't know how you got through it. Did you know by replacing your potato chips with grapefruit as a snack, you can lose up to 90% of what little joy you still have left in your life? Yeah. I'm fat, but I identify as skinny. I'm a trans slender. You have a dog like this? She said she missed me. Normally that would be good news, but she's reloading. Be careful where you shop online. We ordered a German Shepherd, and now this guy lives with us. That's fancy. Well, this one's too small for you to see, and I don't want to take any more time, but I like this last part. It kind of reminds me of Burma Shave signs. This bottom part says, and for those who speed on the highway, here are a few more hymns. Going 45, God will take care of you. 65, nearer my God to thee. 85, this world is not my home. 95, Lord, I'm coming home, and 100, precious memory. Well, that's enough of that. Okay. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Last time we spent most of our time reviewing. We're going to press on now. In chapter 6, verse 14. I'll put that up on the board so you can see where we were. That was several pages from where we're going to be tonight. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. And I'm going to turn it off again because, so you won't get dizzy from the scrolling. I need an electric scroller here. Okay, so this is where we go. where we're going to begin tonight. We're still having that verse in mind, and I want you to go in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Paul addresses the same issue in Galatians chapter 5 as he is in Romans chapter 6. He says things a little different in each place, but they still are attacking the same enemy and clarifying what we need to know. So in Galatians chapter 5 verse 16 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." Very simple verse to understand, but it's profound in what it says. Now you might see up here after walk, I have the morphology of this Greek word. It's a present active imperative. So what that means is Paul is giving them a command, and he's saying, keep on walking by the Spirit. It's in the active voice, which we are the ones that produce the action. And it is a command. He's telling us, keep on walking by the Spirit. And then it says, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Now, carry out, or will not carry, is also a... The morphology is a aorist active subjunctive, but I think I changed that. I'm going to make that a P because I think it's a present tense. I'll have to check on that. It's not going to change the world if it was a aorist, but I think it's a present tense. So I'm going to get rid of that and put a P right there. So I'm going to call that a present active subjunctive. Now, that means that we are to walk by the Spirit, and when we are walking by the Spirit, we keep on walking by the Spirit, maybe we will not carry out the desires of the flesh, and maybe we will. When you look at this without that morphology, it reads differently. So I'm going to give it a little of the text I have underneath it to help explain this. Walking by the Spirit means to live our lives under the control of the Holy Spirit rather than being controlled by our flesh. In order to do this, we must recognize when we are in carnality, that means controlled by our flesh, and then acknowledge our sins to God the Father in order to regain the control and the power of the Holy Spirit. So what this means is, the subjunctive mood, we have to make a decision there. I don't know, I might ought to put this back as a aorist. Aorist means at a point of time, by the way, instead of ongoing. I picked it up again down here to make another point. By the way, we don't want to minimize this paragraph because you hear walking all the time, peripateto, it means live in a certain manner. And we are to live our lives under the control of the Holy Spirit. The other alternative is being controlled by our flesh. You are either in the flesh or you're in the Spirit at any given time. And we need to recognize when we're in carnality. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in whatever the situation may be, we can even be shouting or screaming nearly and not know that we are in carnality. Because we're not even thinking about that. But we need to be very adept in recognizing when we get into carnality. Sometimes it's maybe something subtle. We may have been thoughtless to someone. We may have said something that hurt somebody's feelings, and sometimes we might not even known it. But more times than not, it's not that long before we get a feeling that, uh-oh, I'm angry. Uh-oh, I'm afraid. Uh-oh, I'm worried. All these kind of things will let us know, usually not too far down the line. Sometimes we can sin and we know it right off the bat. So this is talking about, in the first part of this verse, the command that we would walk by the Spirit. That means being controlled by the Spirit. And of course, once we recognize that we are in carnality, controlled by our flesh, then we acknowledge our sins to God the Father in order to regain control and power of the Holy Spirit. Without the control and power of the Holy Spirit, we're out of the game. We're on the bench. We can't do anything without His power and His control and His leadership for us and His guidance. Can't overemphasize how important it is to humble ourselves, acknowledge our sins to God, and then it's like the power comes back. It's like being in a home up in north and it's cold and there's no lights, there's no power, and then all of a sudden when the power comes on, it is nice. But what I wanted to do here now is this phrase here, you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. So I have it here again, aorist active subjunctive here. The word carry is in the subjunctive mood, which means we have to make a choice as to whether we will submit to the desires of our flesh or to the leading of the Holy Spirit. This is as common as it can be. This happens many times during the course of one day that we have to make decisions. We can go the route that is most easiest for us, the one that is most comfortable, the one that we are most familiar with, and that would be submitting to the desires of our flesh. But we can make a choice to where we're not going to take that road. We are going to submit to the Holy Spirit and receive His blessings, His leadership, all of that. And you know that. If you think back in your day today, there might be one time or maybe two times or maybe more that you had to make this choice. We don't ask for these things to happen. Circumstances occur and the ball is in our court and we're either going to trust the Lord, we're going to apply doctrine to our circumstances, we're going to make the right choice of not disobeying whatever we are tempted to do, or we can go the other route. When we consistently submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit, that is, walk by the Spirit, we will not succumb to temptation, exclamation point. Now that is cut and dried, that is not hard to understand. And when I add the word consistently in there, it doesn't mean that we will always walk by the Spirit. None of us do that. But when we are consistently submitting to the leading of the Holy Spirit, then we are walking in the Spirit. And when we are walking in the Spirit, then we're in the game. I'm sorry, I played football for I don't know how many years as I grew up in Little League football and then junior high football and
high school football and college football. And to be in the game, you have to be prepared. You have to know what to do. You have to have the will and aggressiveness to win. All those things you have to have. If not, you're on the bench. Now, I don't want to pat myself on the back, but I never sat on the bench. I just couldn't do it. I'd see the game going on out there, and I would just have to be in it. And I was fortunate enough to where I was able to, let me put it this way. When I was in high school, I graduated in 1966. And back then, if you were a good player, you would go post offense and defense. I never got off the field. Now, they did have on my team people that would play on the offense and some would play on the defense. But there was about five or six of us that once we got on the field, we never got off. And that was fine with me. I would hate sitting on the bench. And so when we are consistently submitting to the leading or the leadership and the control of the Holy Spirit, we're walking by the Spirit, we are in the game. That's where God wants us to be. That's when we can demonstrate the power and the faithfulness of God. It's a wonderful place to be. And we don't earn it or deserve it. We just have to be humble enough to acknowledge our sins in order to keep that going. So when we consistently submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit, we are walking by the Spirit, then we will not succumb to temptation. People want to know, how can I have victory over sin? That's it right there. It's not complicated. This is the way we can have victory over sin! Exclamation point. Isn't that of interest to people? This is how we can have peace and joy even in horrible circumstances! Exclamation point. This is how we can become overcomers! Exclamation point. I want to go back here one more time and say this word right here. I guess you could say two words. Consistently submit, yield, acknowledge that you are submitting. That is the key. Most believers from time to time will remember. No, I can't even say it that way. Because I started to say most believers can remember from time to time that they're out of fellowship with the Holy Spirit. His power is no longer working in them. And that they can acknowledge their sins to God. But I would say the people that know the recovery system through 1 John 1:9. With regards to believers, the believers that know that are in a small minority. And that's unconscionable to think that maybe 10% of the people know that this is the way that we recover the filling of the Holy Spirit, His control, His power. Just by naming what we've done to God the Father. But most people don't know that. And just think, I just said here, if we consistently submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit, walk by the Spirit, we will not succumb to temptation. This is the way we have victory over sin. This is the way we have peace and joy, even in horrible circumstances. This is how we become overcomers. And if these people, believers, by the millions out there, don't know how to recover the filling of the Holy Spirit and His everything that goes with it, then they're going to succumb to temptation. They will not have victory over sin. They will not have peace and joy in horrible circumstances, and they won't be overcomers. And if they're not overcomers, for all eternity, they're going to be without rewards, decorations, and privileges that they could have had. So I would say this is a very important thing for us to inculcate into our soul. Now, I know that you know it. But the point is, other believers need to know it. And they can only find out from believers like yourself who are willing and ready to tell them. Unfortunately, most believers seldom, if ever, experience the wonderful things mentioned above. Why? Because they do not consistently submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's why. A lot of times, believers will know that something is not right in their life. They can tell that they're not walking close with God. They've done something and it just keeps haunting them. I don't know if they acknowledge it to God or not. And I don't know if you would say that they ask for forgiveness. The Bible doesn't tell us to ask for forgiveness when we sin. Or they might plead for forgiveness. That's not what the Bible says to do. It says acknowledge, confess, make known to God, take responsibility for your sin, own it. That takes humility, and when you do that, instantly, you're back in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You have His power, He's under control, and you're moving forward. If you're not doing that, then you are not consistently submitting to the Holy Spirit. You're in carnality. These people, well, they follow the deep wheel ruts of submitting automatically to their flesh. It's a binary decision. You're either going to submit to God by humbling yourself and acknowledging that sin, or else you're going to follow the deep wheel ruts of submitting automatically to the flesh. Now, a lot of times that just means, well, I'm going to do what I want to do anyway. And you might know that it's a sin, that you're being obedient, and you do it anyway. But this can also mean that when you go into the deep wheel ruts of submitting automatically to their flesh, sometimes the flesh will be goading someone to say, okay, now you have to make up for this sin. You're not right with God. You've got to do something about it. And so they try to strive to be as moral as they can, but what is even more dastardly is they try to keep the law. They think, I broke the law of God. Now I've got to really try hard to keep the law in order to be closer to God. And unfortunately, they don't know that when they do that, they come under a curse. They cannot keep the law. The only thing the law can do is to point out the way, and when we don't go the way we're going to break the law, then we are cursed, we're condemned. One reason for this is they are biblically ignorant. They have little or no knowledge of Bible doctrine. They have believed Satan lies, so they have no power to resist temptation. The Holy Spirit is not in, He may be indwelling them, but He is not controlling them. They're not filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're going to be consistently led by the Holy Spirit, then you're going to have some doctrine. You have to have some knowledge. And when you consistently intake God's Word and you meditate on it and you strive to apply what you know about God's Word to your circumstances, then your chance of being, of submitting consistently to the control of the Holy Spirit is going to go way up. It's a support to have not only the knowledge that we need to be filled by the Holy Spirit, but doing it consistently. I don't know if you can do it consistently without taking in the Word of God. If you're not thinking God's thoughts during the day, that means thinking about doctrine. How can you be around people? How can you watch TV? How can you do anything that involves people and not make application of doctrine. Okay, that was verse 16. Let's move on to verse 17. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things you please. The angelic conflict rages inside of us every single day. Will you give me a hearty amen to that? I don't want it, I'm just saying. I don't care about amens, but we all, at least I hope this is going on in your daily life. Angelic conflict raging inside of every one of us. Are we going to go the easy way, the way that's comfortable? Are we going to go with the leading of the Holy Spirit? And we're going to deny our desire to satisfy our lusts. It's more important for us to satisfy the Lord. It's much more rewarding. And the other way leads to death. The Holy Spirit and the control of that is all about life, newness of life. Will we submit to our lusts or will we submit to the Lord? That is the battle that rages in us. It should be raging in you. If it's not raging in you, then you've already lost the battle. And the battle is real and it's ongoing. The war is not between us and Satan, which most people would think that's where it is. Nor is it between us and our old sin nature. How can you war with an enemy that has no power? And it has no power over us. The conflict is between the Holy Spirit, who seals us, indwells us, guides us, teaches us, and empowers us. It's between the Holy Spirit and our propensity to sin. Our desire to sin. Now let's think about that for a moment. Why is the battle not between us and the old sin nature? Because the old sin nature doesn't have any power over us anyway. And apart from the Holy Spirit, we don't have any power to do anything in the spiritual realm. It's the conflict between the Holy Spirit and our propensity to sin. In other words, we want to sin. It's our nature. And the only way that we're going to win in these battles is for not us to battle our propensity to sin. There's nothing we can do with regards to sin less. Now, for a time, we can be sure, maybe we did something that was horrific. And we think, okay, that's it. I really drifted way off course. Now I'm going to make a concerted effort. I'm going to watch myself and I'm going to not sin anymore. Well, that's ridiculous. You're hallucinating if you think you can do that. But you can say, I'm not going to sin like I used to. What is that going to lead to? Disappointment, guilt, fear. You can't do it. The battle is between the Holy Spirit and our desire to sin. The Holy Spirit has the power to defeat the lust that's in our hearts. You know how powerful that is. And that's why we have to have the leading and the power of the Holy Spirit that will shut that down within us. The war between the flesh and the Holy Spirit, for the most part, is absent in biblically illiterate believers and non-existent in unbelievers. All you have to do is look at the condition of the world and you can say amen to that. Both believers and unbelievers do not like the following statement taken from Galatians chapter 5:17. There's our verse right there. This is what the... And we don't either, by the way. So that you may not do the things that you please. Every person that breathes wants to do what he pleases. It's just who we are. So, I was thinking about this, and I thought, okay, what can I say about this? It's true, and I think if you're truthful with yourself, you want to do whatever you want to do. You want to do it. And in marriage, before marriage can be on good standing, both the husband and the wife need to know how God structured marriage. And that is that he gave husband the authority in the marriage, and the wife is to support him, not to compete with him. But women, just like men, want what they want. But a good wife will submit to the husband, first of all, because God requires her to, and she wants to please God. And she's also smart enough to know that if I obey him, even though he's wrong, I will obey him even if he's a jerk, then I'm going to be blessed and God is going to get after him and take him to the woodshed and I might be able to watch. I don't know about that last part. I'm not a woman, I don't know. But you understand what I'm saying. So, this is what I came up with. If man was left to do the things that he pleases without any restraints, he would destroy himself. No doubt. Romans chapter 1 describes what happens when God turns those who have rejected him over to their own lusts. Here's a few short quotes. In Romans 1:24, therefore God also gave them up to their uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. In other words, they don't want to submit to God. They won't even acknowledge that he exists. Or they certainly won't submit to him. They're going to do their own thing. So God says, okay, have at it. And what do? Destroy themselves. Romans chapter 1, verse 26. God gave them up to vile passions. Verse 28. God gave them over to a debased mind. In verse 27, committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. He didn't have to do anything. We destroy ourselves if we do not submit to God or any authority and we think we can do anything we want to, we will destroy ourselves. That's why when we look at this, that you may not do the things that you please, because God loves us not to give us over to those things. And he tells us in his word, it is right here. The flesh sets its desire against the spirit. That automatically happens in the spirit against the flesh. For these things are in opposition to one another, so that the reason they are in opposition to one another is so that you may not do the things that you please, because the things that you please are not good for you, and eventually they will kill you. They will destroy you. And God loves us enough to say, no, don't go in your old wheel ruts. That leads to death. Just go over here, form some new wheel ruts, and that is submitting to the Holy Spirit, to the guidance and the leadership and all the training, everything that he has for you. You need his power in everything, every single day. By the way, doing what you please isn't what it's cracked up to be. And you'll soon find out that it cannot satisfy you. That's the whole thing. People want to do what they want to do because they think, I'm going to be satisfied with this. All these other things I've tried, they kind of wore it. But this is this is going to really make my day. So, they soon find out that it cannot satisfy you. People go on a frantic search for happiness by doing what they please, only to find out that it is a satanic lie. It is Satan that is goading people. Yeah, do that. You have to go to that old fuddy-duddy church. I mean, they have a ski trip planned. And you won't have to be on your P's and Q's and worry about anything. You can do anything you want. There's going to be an open bottle or whatever it is. There's going to be fornication, and there's going to be riotousness, and there's going to be orgies, and there's going to be this, and there's going to be that. And you say, essentially, you finally say, okay. You talk yourself into going, and you feel really free at first. And then you find out that it was a lie. Because even if you are dumb enough to go through all of that, instantly you're going to have a tremendous guilt. The guilt leads to fear and a loathing of yourself. And you wonder, how can I get back right with God? And if you don't know 1 John 1:9, you are just toast. Parents who fail to discipline their children, never instilling respect for authority, obedience, or self-control in them, condemn them to a life of misery and suffering. Why is that? They have to learn the hard way that doing what you please never has pleased anyone. So if you are raising children and you're not disciplining them, showing where the line is, you don't cross this. By the way, children who have parents that do not discipline them know that their parents don't love them. Because if they did, they would discipline them diligently. It takes love to discipline a child. I'm not talking about abuse. But if you just let them go, you don't love them enough to do the hard thing, and it's hard to discipline children. And I know that some of our parents are doing a good job. There's a little girl that sat in my lap about 2 Sundays ago, and she was telling me how, I want you to know that I love you. I love all of you. And she said, my mommy told me that this week. She said I had misbehaved, and she disciplined me, and she came back in there and told me that she loved me. You talk about heart-wrenching. And I won't forget that. Because that's hope. Parents are doing it right. And those that don't discipline their children live in a miserable household. I've been to households where a 2-year-old literally ran the house. Oh, we can't go on vacation because our little darling wouldn't put up with it. So they will have them lead a miserable life and suffer until they learn the hard way that doing what you please has never pleased anyone. That's a saying that I hope you will remember and pass it along. Now we have Galatians 5:18, which is the last verse we have in Galatians here. This is augmenting verse 16 in Romans chapter 6. Galatians 5:18 says, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, that if is a first-class conditional clause. I could have put since. It means if and it's true. And you could just as well, it could say, but since you are led by the Spirit, and this led is a present passive indicative. It means you keep on being led by the Spirit, and the indicative movement, it's a reality, this is happening, and the middle P there is a passive voice, means you are led, you are receiving this, you're not producing it. That's why you need the Holy Spirit, because we receive from Him what we need in order to have victory over sin. But if, and you are, led, and keep on being led by the Spirit, by receiving the Holy Spirit's guidance, His power, His training, His protection, all these things, then you are not under the law. And I'm pleased to tell you that not under the law is a present active indicative. There is no subjunctive mood there. That maybe you will and maybe you won't. This is saying, if you are led by the Holy Spirit, and you are, then you are not under the law. You keep on not being under the law. It's an active voice. You are the one producing the action, indicative mood, because what you have received from the Holy Spirit, you are not under the law. I have a few explanatory notes here. Not being under the law means that it cannot condemn us or curse us. When you have believers that get mixed up, or they think, well, I'm not right with God, so I'm going to try harder to obey His laws, and they think that they are getting closer to Him by trying to obey all these laws, then what's actually happening is that they are under a curse because they cannot keep the law. They're getting further away from grace when you go to the law. And in the church age, we are not under the law. We're under God's grace. Either we live by the power of the Holy Spirit, which results in righteous behavior and humble attitudes. This is given in Galatians 22 and 26. That's in, again, in chapter 5. We're in chapter 5, and a few verses down in chapter 22 and 26, it talks about the righteous behavior and the humble attitudes and what it will present itself as. Or, here's the other choice, by the law, if you want to be under the law, which eventually results in unrighteous behavior and arrogant attitudes. And then he gives a whole list of sins there in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. And then I just threw in Romans chapter 6, 14 to remind us yet again, you are not under the law, but under grace. But you can put yourself under the law. If you want to do a different route, if you want to go a different way than acknowledging your sins to God when you see that you obviously are in carnality, if you want to say, well, I don't want to do that, or if you're ignorant of that, that's just too bad for you, you're going to go the other route trying to keep the law, whereby you will be cursed and you're getting further away from grace. You are not under law, but under grace. Remember that. Always. We are under grace. We should be exceedingly thankful that the Holy Spirit gives us the power we need to resist sin. It's the only way we can. We cannot have victory over sin by our own efforts. We may be able to resist temptation for a short time, but we will never be able to have victory over sin by exerting our self-will or by our self-discipline or by gritting our teeth and gutting it out, because our puny efforts are simply not as strong as the passions and lusts that tempt us. We want to go with our lust anyway. That makes us pretty weak to start out. Now this may ring a chord with you. I think it was, Tuesday. I think it was last Thursday that I was going through all these notes and I was skipping some and I was just getting to the places I wanted to get to, and this might have been one of them. And since then, I filled in some more places and so forth. But we should be exceedingly thankful that God has designed the church age and for us to be under grace, and that we can have victory over sin by simply being humble and acknowledging our sins. And then the Holy Spirit's power, just whoom, we have it then. We can say no to where it's not hard to say no. Well, otherwise, you very well might be saying yes to temptation. This is one reason why we should make sure that we keep short accounts regarding sin in our lives. You don't want to commit a sin at noon tomorrow and think, well, maybe I'll get around to confessing this sin noon the next day. Is that smart? We want to keep short accounts. When we acknowledge our sins to God, we are filled with the Holy Spirit, which means we can operate on His omnipotent power, which enables us to have victory over sin. Now, if you are struggling with temptation, if you really want to do something and you're kind of concerned because you could go either way, that's a telltale sign that you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, you can be tempted. Being tempted is not a sin. But if you're kind of leaning towards talking yourself into pulling the trigger on that sin, and you're getting closer and closer, where's the Holy Spirit's power? What should you do? Well, you ask the Lord, or tell the Lord, you tell the Father, I'm getting close. I'm weakening here. I need some power. Believers who are biblically ignorant know nothing of these things, and they try to resist sin by trying harder to keep the law. Wouldn't that be natural? And they usually go to the Ten Commandments and they say, okay, which one did I break? They become very legalistic, because if you put a lot of effort in it and you are successful over not sinning here or there or something like that, then you're thinking, finally I feel closer to God now. I could have done this and I could have done that, but I said no. So I'm much better now in my relationship with God. It's even closer, which is just the opposite. Do you understand that? Where's the grace in that? The only way that we can be close to God is through His grace. If we're working, trying to do it ourselves, that is an insult. All that is human good, which God repudiates. He hates it. And yet these people think, oh well, this is what's getting me closer. Ignorance. So they try harder to resist sin. And by trying harder to keep the law, they become very legalistic, thinking that they are closer to God because of their effort to keep the law, which inevitably leads to judging others. If I'm closer to God, I mean, I've worked real hard at this. I'm proud. I'm closer to God. And then somebody does something stupid to you, and you think, aha, you're just nowhere near I am. I'm judging that person. I dare they do that. They're not in the rarefied elite air that I'm breathing. They probably never will be. Look at me. Their lack of humility causes them to reject the grace of God, which is a disaster. There's only one way that we can be right with God, and that is through humility and through the grace of God. And if you are humble and God gives you His grace, then there should be automatic gratitude. Humility and gratitude go hand in hand. But if a person is trying to be closer by keeping the law, there's no gratitude to God. What did God have to do with that? I'm the one that worked, got to be a better person. I just hope that God recognizes it. What a... Whew. So their lack of humility causes them to reject the grace of God, which is a disaster. God depends on us to lovingly reach these people with the knowledge they lack in order for them to have victory over sins in their lives as well. And that is a tall order. And yet, we are required to do it. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not talking about just giving the gospel. We should always be looking for opportunity to give the gospel. But these people, most believers, have no understanding of the spiritual realm. It's all about morality and on the exterior, being good or doing this or doing that. Human good is repugnant to God. And yet, that's what they're using to try to get closer to Him. The only reason we can produce divine good is through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we should thank God for how He has structured this. His structure is based on grace and nothing else. And when we try to take a hold of the oar and start doing the rowing, we're going in the wrong direction. Well, I think I'm going to throw out the anchor here. Let's see what I got next. Yeah, this is a good stopping place. Well, we didn't get into Romans tonight. We covered three verses in Galatians, but they are compatible. If you understand what Paul was writing in Galatians, they augment and support what he was saying in Romans chapter 6. Any questions? Let's close. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for Your mighty Word. We are awed by the wisdom and by the way that You have, in eternity past, designed the way for things to work. And our contact point with You is Your grace. Help us to understand how important it is that we would never dream of trying to get closer to You on our own works. Help us to deliver this message to those who have believed Satan's lies, that you have to be good to go to heaven, that you have to work hard at it, rather than understanding that God gives us eternal life, His own righteousness, and a host of other things, because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then after that, we need to recognize how we are to live, and we live by consistently walking in the Spirit under His leadership and His control. We thank You for this and pray that You will help us to relate it to others. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.